So our final speaker is John Gragrina, Jr. He's executive director of the nation's largest small employer purchasing pool, Pacific Health Advantage, also known as the Health Insurance Plan of California. Prior to joining PAC Advantage, he was the chief deputy director and lead negotiator of the Managed Risk Medical Insurance Board. This is a California agency with the mission of reducing the number of uninsured people in California. Among his accomplishments are the design, the negotiation, the implementation of full-risk contracts for the state's high-risk pools, its pregnancy program, and the small employer purchasing pool. He also helped design, create, and implement California's S-CHIP program that now covers 600,000 formerly uninsured children. He's now executive director of PAC Advantage, which provides health insurance to more than 11,000 small employers in California, insures over 130,000 employees and their dependents. And he oversees all aspects of the operation, its policies, sales and marketing, and health plan contracting. I was a little nervous about introducing Mr. Gragrina. If you look on your agenda, you can see his name starts with three consonants, G-R-G. And he said he gets a lot of funny reactions to his name. When he spells it, people say, "Are you sure you're spelling it right?" They ask him, "Did someone misspell your name on Ellis Island when they were immigrating?" And one of our panelists who will remain unnamed but might be obvious just from the previous presentations actually made a video on all the ways that John's name could be mispronounced. And so I worked real hard so I wouldn't end up on the next video. So all I can say, John, is, you know, with a name like Bogenschneider, I kind of sympathize with you. I take a lot of ribbing on my name. And I don't want to get into any one-upsmanship, but Bogenschneider actually has five consonants in a row. So without further ado, let's welcome Mr. Gragrina.
Well, first of all, I don't think anybody's going to have any problems at all hearing me. I have two young children at home, a son who's five, a daughter who's three, so I do an awful lot of shouting. So I don't think there'll be any problem there. This is the second time that I've been invited to your wonderful city. I was here in May of 2001. And at one of the hearings, I had mentioned what a beautiful city it was, the first time I had been here. And one legislator said, "Come back in the winter and see what you think." And I would have to say I am the typical Californian. Yesterday when I was traveling, my mid-stop was in Chicago. I had my coat, my gloves, my hat were all packed in my carry-on suitcase because I, of course, didn't want to be carrying it with me. Unbeknownst to me in getting on the flight coming here to Madison, I had to go out on the tarmac, and I had jeans and a T-shirt on. Pretty much people were staring at me with that nod of, "Foolish Californian, doesn't know what he's doing." So I do thank you for inviting me here. One thing I'd like everyone to do is I'd like to ask you a question. I'd like you to write down your answer. Don't share it with your neighbor. But one survey question I'd like to ask of you is, what keeps you up at night? You can have an answer for your personal life. Keep that to yourself. Think about it from your business life and perspective. What is worrying you? What is the boogeyman in your closet that doesn't allow you to get to sleep, that is reoccurring in your dreams over and over again, causing you nightmares? And the reason why I raise this is because this very same question was just asked back in October of over 700 small business owners across the nation, and they were asked, "What's keeping you up at night?" And I think this is perfect timing for today's seminar, that the number one thing that was keeping them up at night, over 78% of these small business owners said the cost of health insurance. More than the U.S. economy, more than keeping and retaining good employees, more than their overall business and how stable their business was. That is their number one issue far and away, and I think if that very same question was asked of large employers, it wouldn't be very far behind. If it was asked of families, it wouldn't be very far behind. And if it was asked of folks who were trying to buy insurance in the individual insurance market, it absolutely would even be at a higher number. So today's presentation is very timely. You can turn to the next slide. I just want to spend a couple of minutes real briefly going over the history of PAC Advantage, the Health Insurance Plan of California, a little bit about who we are before we get into the meat of what you want to know, which is what are the lessons that we've learned, and if we had a chance to do it all over again, what things would we change? First of all, in California, part of the reason why we've managed to be successful and are one of the few remaining small employer purchasing pools is because we had very strong reforms that were put into effect in California in our law, AB 1672. And those rules applied to both the pool and the marketplace. So there was no advantages for health insurance companies over the pool. It included guarantee issue, guarantee renewal, pre-existing condition limitations, and really important here in the crux were the rating restrictions, where we do use a modified community rate. The health plans are allowed to use 7 age categories, 4 family sizes, and they could break the state up into different regions, but if they're statewide, no more than 9 different regions. And then they must publish these rates for every single one of the products that they offer, so the entire world, the brokers, the employers, the employees, could see what those prices are, and then they could vary those prices no more than plus or minus 10% today. When the legislation first started, it was 20%. So imagine, if you will, if you saw a rate of $100 on a book, the cheapest a group could get it would be $90, and the most expensive would be $110. And this is important to bring back to the point that Rick was talking about, is that while it may not overall lower rates in the market, what this provides is it provides stability. You may be the small employer that has 10 under 30-year-old accountants who look like the most healthy group in the world, but you are one sickness away from being the group that's going to see your rates double or triple or quadruple, and that was happening in California prior to this reform passing. Secondly, inside this reform, it also included the creation of a purchasing pool. Next slide, please. And that takes us to PAC Advantage, formerly known as the Health Insurance Plan of California. We are the nation's largest nonprofit small employer purchasing pool. We provide coverage to small businesses with 2 to 50 employees. We do provide the employees the choice of, number one, their health plan that they want, number two, their product line, so they can have an HMO, a PPO, or a point of service, and number three, their co-payment level, and we'll talk a little more about that later on. We have over 11,000 small employers in our state who are covering over 130,000 lives. And we are owned by the Pacific Business Group on Health, PBGH, which is a large employer purchasing pool. And we are, or will be, celebrating our 10th anniversary coming up here in July. How does it work? The Pacific Business Group on Health owns PAC Advantage, so we make the policy direction. We do the negotiating of the contracts with our administrative vendor. We do the negotiations with the health, dental, vision, and chiropractic plan. We negotiate what benefits we're going to offer. We do the marketing for the program. Our administrative vendor, who is Benefit Partners, Inc., which actually rolled out of Humana, which was previously Employers Health Insurance, so kudos to the folks here in Wisconsin. You are the ones who helped start this program. This administrative vendor performs the day-to-day functions. They do the eligibility, the enrollment, the premium collection. They tell the plans who's been selected. They transmit enrollment information and transmit those premium information to the plans, and they handle the customer service question from employers, employees, and the brokers. The last piece, and it's critical to highlight here, is that the carriers, the small employers, and the agents and brokers all participate here voluntarily. Plan could choose to be with us, or they could choose not to be with us. Same with the employers joining us, and same with the insurance agents and brokers who are selling us. All right, what is the value here? Why is this such a great idea? In almost every state in the nation, they're interested in purchasing pools. And one of the top reasons, as you can see in the very first bullet, is employee choice. Len made a good comment in his presentation where he said, we are an individualistic society. What happens in small employers when they're purchasing health care is traditionally it's the owner or the spouse or the lead decision maker who's picking the plan that they want. And then they turn to the employees and say, here's what we've got. And in this given point in time, the employees are just thankful and grateful to have a health care package. But they don't have the ability to pick the one that best meets their family needs, much like the employees in large employers do. And that is one of the largest and most important values that a purchasing pool is offering to the small employers and their employees. Secondly, from the employer's perspective, we have a minimum requirement that each employer must contribute 50% of the lowest cost plan. So it is a defined contribution, and we have many of our employers that offer this. So they tag their contribution strategy to the lowest cost plan, and that helps to stabilize some of their premium increases, because the lowest cost plan today might be Kaiser for an employee, but next year it might be HealthNet. So just because Kaiser had a 20% increase doesn't necessarily mean that the increase to the employer is a 20% increase. Next slide. So what are the lessons that we've learned? The first lesson is that employee choice of health plans is a highly valued feature of the pool, both for the employees and for the employers as well, particularly as we're talking about, because the employee wants to be able to pick the plan that best meets their family needs. The employers like the defined contribution, and they like the ability to tell their employees, I'm going to provide you $200 a month towards your health care. But while that may seem tough because you're going to have to pick up a piece of the monthly premium, you have choices. And here in California, we have many choices. In an urban area, we could have as many as 15 choices for people making their healthcare selection. And it's critical, again, to go back over it. They get their choice of health plan, and we have three of the five largest health plans participating in the state. They have the choice of HMO, PPO, and point of service. And they also have the choice of copay. We have three different copay levels in our HMO. We have a $5 pack, or excuse me, a $10 package, a $20 package, and a $30 package. We actually provide more choice to the employees than a large employer does, where traditionally the large employer offers several different HMOs under one copay structure and then usually a self-funded PPO. We offer two different PPO products, and we're looking to add a couple more in the next year. So that is really, I think, one of the most important lessons and one of the reasons why we have been successful and why people are attracted to pools. The second lesson is that the pools can't be required to follow more stringent rules than the rest of the marketplace. We heard Rick talk about this. There are just literally several examples of purchasing pools that have died in other states because they were required to do things that the rest of the marketplace is not. And three of the biggest ones that I could highlight are, one, the eligibility. It seems particularly from policymakers and legislators' standpoint, we're having such a difficult time with the individual marketplace. Why can't we just put them all in a pool? We'll get better rates and everything will go on hunky-dory and we'll start to lower the rates of the uninsured. The difficulty becomes, as Rick had said, is if those individuals, those who are healthy, can go get a rate in the marketplace today. Those who are being those health underwritten questions, who show up with the red flags that the health insurance companies say we're not going to take a risk for you, those are going to be the ones that come in the pool. And that will drive the pool's costs up, and it will mean that the healthier groups who are enrolled in the pool are going to have to question, why do we continue to participate in this pool if we can get a much better rate outside? And then the price is just continuing to spiral up. On the rating side, if the pools are not allowed to have the same rating flexibility as the rest of the marketplace, they will be adversely selected. Even though in California we do have a modified community rate and you can only go up or down plus or minus 10%, historically the Health Insurance Plan of California asked no medical questions and said the rate you see is the rate you pay. So there was no 10% discount, and likewise there was no 10% increase. Just this year, we've switched where we haven't started asking medical questions, but we have realigned our rates based on the size of groups. So the smallest small employers, 2, 3, 4 employees, will be rated at the 1.1 rate, and the largest of the small employers, those 25 plus, actually will see the 10% discount. And the reason we had to move to that is because the marketplace has been there for years. So we have been less attractive to the larger size small employers and even more attractive to the smaller size groups. And we need, I think one of the mantras that we have at our office is, we need our fair share. We are not trying to avoid any small employer, and we want all small employers to have insurance, but we have to have the same fair access to the quote-unquote healthier groups than we do to those that have more risk. The last area of contention is on the benefit picture. I think many legislatures and states have grappled with the fact of, let's have a really comprehensive health benefit package, and why don't we make the pool offer that? And if the rest of the plans in the marketplace offer it or they don't, oh well. Well, if a pool has to offer a comprehensive set of benefit packages and the rest of the marketplace doesn't, the rest of the plans will eventually figure out that they don't have to offer the richest plan, and they'll tell those groups that need those benefits, that's where you go. You go to the pool, and for those of you who are more concerned about rate affordability, you come to us, and that will ultimately be the death of the pool. The third lesson is that a voluntary purchasing pool by itself will not dramatically reduce prices. And why is that? And this was some of the questions that were asked earlier. One of the first ones is that the health plan themselves, their motivation is not to sell inside of the pool. Their motivation, if there was a small group, if we took this one side of the audience and said, here's a business with 45 employees, that health plan's goal is to get those 45 employees enrolled in their plan. If they can't do that, then secondarily, if they're participating in a purchasing pool, then great, go to the pool. You don't want to take me, myself, go to the pool, and hopefully I'll be able to get a good percentage of those of you who are enrolling. But again, their motivation is to get you direct. So you don't see health plans standing up having big full-page ads saying, come join the pool. They're saying, come join me directly. Secondly, the enrollment from the purchasing pools is not the enrollment that is the majority of that health plan's enrollment in the small employer market in a voluntary situation. So even though I can stand before you and say we have 130,000 lives and we have close to 50,000 lives with one plan, Kaiser Permanente, that's pretty much filling up a football-sized stadium. That's a lot of individuals. 50,000 is a part of Kaiser's overall small business pool, which has over 700,000 lives. That's less than 7%. So when I sit at the table with Kaiser, I have 7% of their small group book of business. That's not an insignificant amount of business, but I'm not sitting as the 800-pound gorilla saying, I've got 25 or 50% of your business. You need to start working with me more closely. And that's important about these voluntary purchasing pools is they start with zero, not a single life enrolled in them. The last thing is that in many states, and particularly in California, the regulation in the small employer purchasing pool, and as well as in the marketplace, took the entire market and put it together and said, by our rating reforms, you are pulling all together all the small businesses when you, the health plan, go out with your rates because you don't have much flexibility in the rating structure. You can either go down 10% or you can go up 10%. So you've got to take your block of business and pool that block of business. The fourth lesson, and one that we're rapidly learning here, is that purchasing pools are great vehicles for subsidies for small employers and their employees. The pools are very similar in structure to successful pools, particularly in California, the California CalPERS model, the state employees model, and the SCHIP program that I worked at, which is called Healthy Families, which has over 600,000 children enrolled in a pooled environment where these children are told, in your community where you live, you can pick the health plan of your choice. And in the state, we negotiated with over 20 health plans that participate. So in any given community, there is between 5 and 7 health plans participating, and generally they are the 4 top largest plans within inside of the state. In fact, the program has become so popular that one of the biggest difficulties the program has is that the decision has been made that the program is marketed alongside of the state's Medicaid program to try and enroll as many uninsured kids as possible in the state. And what community advocates and leaders tell the program is, hey, this Healthy Families program, this pooled environment, the folks in the communities think that this looks like private insurance from the employer. Don't market this alongside of the state's Medicaid program, which has its own bureaucratic process and already a perception from folks of what that thing looks like. This pooled environment and this private thing looks great. Market this thing on its own. Obviously, the pools provide a choice for the families to be making the choice that best meets their needs. What's important in our pool is that we have an open enrollment period every year that coincides with the rates. So a family is told, this is what the rates are going to look like for you for next year. You can go ahead and make any changes you want. You can change health plan. You can change copay level. You can change products. And as you know, in your own individual life, you can think about, as time goes on, there are different circumstances where maybe a PPO with a $1,000 deductible sounds great to you. Or maybe it's an HMO with a $10 copay and no hospital inpatient. But it's great to have that choice each year to decide what's right for you at that given point in time. We're currently working with Sacramento County, where they took a couple of $1 million of their tobacco litigation settlement dollars, and they are providing a subsidy to get small employers who haven't been providing insurance to provide that insurance and cover their uninsured employees and to do it through PAC Advantage. We just enrolled our first 7 groups in the month of December, and we're really looking forward to making this pilot work and being able to take it to other counties in California. Well, what would we do if we had to do it all over again? I think the first thing we would do is, as we had mentioned, if you've heard from Rick, you've got to operate as closely to the marketplace as possible. So you can see I've got several tabs here about making us look just like the marketplace. In fact, that has been my mantra in the little over a year that I've been at PAC Advantage, is to make significant changes so that the PAC Advantage program looks like if you were just going to buy health insurance directly from Blue Cross or HealthNet or Kaiser or Blue Shield. Any way that you're different presents a problem for a pool. You cannot be what agents and brokers and employers would say is the last stopping ground. You can't be a pool where folks say, if you can't get insurance from another plan in the small business market, don't worry, you can go to that pool because you will be adversely selected against. You have to be able to be offered. One of the things we had talked about is what's important is the employees having choice. And what we see in our surveys over and over again is people want to be able to have the choice of health plans, but as importantly, particularly for the business owner, They want a choice between PPO and HMO. The vast majority of the business owners want a PPO. They're perfectly fine with being able to offer a lower cost HMO to their employees, but by God, they themselves want the PPO. And so that is a drawing card of a purchasing pool to say you can have both. You, the owner, could take the PPO, let your employees have their choice, and probably the vast majority of them will take an HMO option. The last couple of slides I'll leave on your own to take a look at, but how was it successfully implemented? And I think it's important just to take a couple of comments, because as you've heard, several of these pools have started in several different states, and there are only a handful of us left. And it's important that if you're going to move forward, a pool can be a very positive force for small employers, but it has to be done correctly. And you can see the things that happened in California is we had the proper market reforms, we were not adversely selected against, and that the pool had the same rules as the rest of the marketplace. There were several health plans that were actively supportive in putting this pooled idea together. There were other health plans that were not so supportive, and there was a whole cadre of plans that stood on the fence and said, what's going to happen? If this thing is really going to go, then I'm going to jump in. And that is indeed what happened in California. And the political climate was very conducive to this happening. In fact, the governor was so supportive that he went out, held a press conference with the very first business that enrolled, and we just received an incredible amount of free press coverage. The press is very interested in hearing from you, the legislators, particularly if you've got something positive and new to bring to them to say, this is what we're doing to address the needs of small employers. They will listen to you, and they will put that in a media and in a format that small business owners and insurance agents and brokers will hear, and they'll have to be able to learn about the product to talk about it, because people will be questioning them about it. The next slide asks the question of how was this funded. I know for many of you, you say, where did these monies come from? In the state of California, what happened was California said, we want to create this thing. We want to transition to the nonprofit sector. We don't want to pay for this thing on an ongoing basis. So what the state did is it told the Managers Medical Insurance Board, a state board, you could use and loan funds from the state's high-risk pool, the individual high-risk pool, but they've got to be repaid. So the state loaned $5.5 million, which was repaid partially by the state, and then when it was privatized, paid out by the rest of the funds from the Pacific Business Group on health. How the rest of the program operates is there is an administrative fee for the employers to participate, and that fee you can see right now is at 4.5%, and that pays for the administrative vendor, that pays for PBGH, and that pays for the marketing of the program. The last thing I would highlight for you is just a couple of website addresses to learn more about the program. I would particularly highlight, when you get a chance, go take a look at PACAdvantage.org. There are two things that I'd like you to specifically look at. One is a thing called PAC Plan Chooser, where we actually provide a little tool for people to figure out what is the correct health plan for me. And this little snazzy tool, the first of its kind in the nation, actually gives people information about not only what kind of premiums are they going to have to pay, but what is just a guesstimate on their out-of-pocket costs based on a couple of quick medical questions that they answer, and what is the quality information that's available for the health plans in their area where they live. The second thing I would highlight is the SAC Advantage program, the subsidy program in Sacramento County. That information is going to become available on our website by the end of this week, so there will be more information there for you. And then the last thing I think you have available in your package is we included some of the rates in the San Diego area and in the San Francisco area, because I know for you what you want to do is you want to go take a look at your age cell and say, what would the price be in San Diego or San Francisco versus what I'm currently paying today here in Wisconsin. So when you get a chance, you can take a look at that as well. Thank you.
We have questions for Mr. Gergerina. And yes.
Thank you. That was very enlightening. When you talked about rating, and you said you went to a rating system that rated according to the number of employees that the small employer had, but I didn't quite catch whether or not you had other rating factors that included, such as age and those kinds of other rating factors.
We use, as the rest of the marketplace does, we use the full 7 age categories, 4 family sizes, and we break the state into different regions. Traditionally, we have just used the straight rate that gets published, what is called the standard employee risk rate, the 1.0 rate. We have not given a discount, and we have not increased that rate. And that has put us at a disadvantage over these years, particularly with the larger size groups, and then again, a real advantage for the smaller size groups. I think one question would be is, geez, why would you charge the smaller size groups a higher rate? And when you think about it this way. How many large employers provide health benefits to their employees? What is it, 98, 99%? Break out small employers from 25 to 50. A very large percentage of them provide that insurance. And why do they do that? Because they feel the need that they have to have that benefit to keep and retain employees. So at that level, they are bringing some groups that need services. They're also bringing a lot of healthy folks as well because they're bringing all those folks to the table. On the end of the spectrum where you have two, three, four employees, a very large percentage of those employers are not providing the insurance. And who do you think the ones are that are not providing the insurance? Oftentimes are the ones that think, my employees are healthy, so this is something we could probably get away with, or they can go find the insurance in the individual market. Who are the ones who are purchasing? More likely that those are the ones that have a true need for services, and so they are more expensive. One of our plans had shared with us that the groups that are 2, 3, 4, and 5, that traditionally they're probably 25 to 40% more expensive than the rest of the small business marketplace. And so that's one of the reasons that we've had to go there as well.
Other questions? Yes.
John, one of the components of the legislation that I know you had strongly recommended be included in the past, the publishing of the rates. Could you just share with us what impact that had on your program?
Sure. Thank you, Representative Cerruti. That was a bullet that I had on the slide. Of course, when you only have 20 minutes, you have two choices. You either be efficient and talk about the most important things, or I could have decided to do what I do with my children when I'm reading, which is read really, really fast, and that way you can get through it all. But that was one point that I did leave out, which is in California, and it was a very strong piece of the reform, was that every benefit package and every rate had to be published so that every agent and broker and every small employer can see it. Gone were the days of trying to hide the benefit package. And what I mean by that is that an agent could be out with the group, and let's say it's a group of contractors, and you would think, geez, you know, the health plan's not going to be very thrilled about getting this group. I'm going to show them all the catastrophic plans. I won't tell them about the $5 copays with no hospital inpatient copay. Under this model, everyone has to present every single package. So if you're a small employer and you say, you know, I'm interested in PAC Advantage, you would see every single benefit we offer, and you would see every single price. And that was important in order to level the playing field so that every plan that participates in California's small employer marketplace shows everything that they have out on the street, so that a small employer actually has the ability to say, here are 40 different products, instead of being told, as they were in the past, well, here are the two or three that best fit your needs. They have the ability to look in the book and say, well, wait a minute, what about this package? Can you talk to me about this package? And that was a very important piece of the reform in leveling the playing field. An important thing that I would say in California is prior to the reforms taking effect, there were a lot of plans that said, we are going to get out of this marketplace if you do all these reforms here. And what actually happened in California was many more health plans came into the marketplace because they said, I was not here before, but now that there's a level playing field, I could come in and compete. Prior to me being here, I felt that there were companies that were skimming off the best risk and avoiding the worst risk, and I couldn't come into a marketplace like that. Now that the rules are fair for everyone, I can compete in this type of situation. And publishing those rates is a big part of that.
Now, we've got about 5 more minutes, and we can take a question to any of our panelists. And, of course, we want to give priority to our legislators first if they have questions. Any other questions to any of our panelists? Yes.
One of the arguments or complaints we get from providers is that in Wisconsin our Medicare reimbursement rates are very low. Your rates in California, as you compare them to Wisconsin, are fairly impressive. Do you have any idea how your Medicare rates from the federal government relate to Wisconsin Medicare rates, and if that is in part a difference concerning insurance rates in the overall California market as compared to the Wisconsin market?
The unfortunate answer is no. I don't deal in the Medicare market, so I'm sorry I don't have that. But I would say this, two things about the California rating market, and I think that's a good point because what a lot of you are going to see, you're going to pull out those rate sheets and say, oh my God, why can't we have these prices? Let me assure you that while those rates are much lower than what you're paying here in Wisconsin, California is experiencing dramatic rate increases just like the rest of the nation. In fact, I would say even greater. In the small employer marketplace, in this year we're in, small employers are seeing 20, 25, 30, some products are 40% rate increases. So we, while we have lower rates than the rest of the nation, we are not in a situation that I would say, Yahoo, we're here to come talk to every single state because we know exactly what we're doing. We're having dramatic price increases as well. Part of why California has some of the rates that it does is there is overcapacity, particularly in Southern California. But and so, I don't know, maybe it's our healthier lifestyle.
Warmer weather.
Definitely warmer weather.
They have lower bed days. They have the lowest bed days in the nation, period. So they just have way less hospital utilization, and it's a culture that's been true for quite some time.
Although, as Len showed you, our hospitals really have woken up, and they have absolutely consolidated, and they are banging at the health plan's table saying, here is our rate. And oftentimes it's double what the rate was before, and they're just sitting there smiling saying, this is it. It's this or it's nothing. And so definitely in California, many of the hospital systems have absolutely gained the upper hand on the health insurance companies at this given point in time.
Any other questions? Representative Miller?
Actually, I have two questions. One for Mr. Garina. As you've said that all employers that participate have to pay 50% of the lowest cost plan. How did you arrive at 50%? In Wisconsin, most employers are paying at a much higher rate participation. Was it a political decision? What was the justification behind it? And I'll let you answer that before I ask that question. Okay.
What's important to note is that's the minimum. In order to participate, an employer has to contribute 50% of the lowest cost plan. Many of our employers contribute more. In fact, I would say up until the last couple of years, we had a bimodal distribution where we had probably roughly 40% of the employers who were paying 100% of the employee only, and then probably another 40% that were paying 50% of the employee only. I think what's important to note in the small employer marketplace in California, and I'm sure it's got to be similar here in Wisconsin, is a lot of employers do not contribute towards the dependent care, or if they do, 50% would generally tend to be the highest amount. Where we came up with 50% is when we created the program was talking with the health insurance companies, because again, in setting up the pool's setting the rules, and so the health insurance companies, in order to participate, have to feel comfortable about those. So they sat down at the table and said, this seems reasonable that an employer is coming to the table and buying a package and is going to buy a package because it's important to buy the package just for the general benefit of their employees versus just coming in to try and get their sick folks covered.
And the second question, I think, is directed to Mr. Nichols. It's my understanding that the state of Hawaii has some of the lowest per capita health costs in the country. Do you have any information as to why that is when it's one of the highest cost of living states in the country?
Sorry, I don't know why Hawaii is. Okay.
Representative Hundemar, did you have a question?
But I will now check it out.
Okay. We'll get back to you on that.
When you started the plan, you started out with zero. And then you grew to what you said was about 130,000. At what point did you feel comfortable that the pool was actually going to succeed, and how long did it take you to get to that number?
The pool started off in the first year, I think it hit about 40,000. I think by the end of the second year, it was probably close to 80. Then there was a slowdown. I think the third year was maybe 100, then 115, and then sort of kind of stabilized itself. I would say by the end of the first year, folks were feeling pretty comfortable that it was going to be a success. I think you need to be able to create a big enough block that if some folks really do get sick, which is what health insurance is about, that there's enough of that block to protect it so that folks are still participating. Really, from our standpoint, if we had to do it over again, probably the biggest mistake that we made was in how we treated insurance agents and brokers who do the vast majority of selling to small businesses. Small business owners do not want to have to learn or become experts in healthcare. They've got a lot of other things on their minds. So they trust the brokerage community to bring these products to them. And what we did, this was back again at the time when there was potential Clinton reform and there was going to be no insurance brokers under that plan, is that the health insurance plan of California started off by paying brokers a flat fee, not a percentage of premium like the rest of the market. Again, we decided to be different than the market, not a good thing.
Secondly, those fees were specifically shown on the bill, where that's not the way the market practice is. And then thirdly, employers were told, if you don't want to use a broker, you don't have to, and you could actually realize the savings. Needless to say, there was a tremendous amount of insurance agents and brokers who said, not going to sell that thing. Had we not made that decision and went straight out the gates with the way the rest of the marketplace is, who knows how many lives we could actually have. In fact, when the Pacific Business Group on Health took over, one of the first changes was to immediately pay insurance agents and brokers a percentage of premium, take it off the bill, to make it look like the rest of the marketplace. And that has been, it's now been over 3 years, and it's been quite a bit to overcome that with insurance agents and brokers. We do surveys, an annual survey of brokers to find out what do they think of our program, what can we do to improve it. We still today, 3.5 years later, have brokers who say, I'm not selling that PAC Advantage thing because, you know, they pay flat fees. And so once you get yourself a reputation, let me tell you, it takes you quite a while to overcome it. And so that, it's important to take a look in your marketplaces. How is that product sold? What is the distribution method? And how can you get that distribution to be able to get behind you and say, you know what? This is a pretty good thing to be able to add inside of my arsenal. And it is for insurance agents and brokers who sell PAC Advantage. They say, guess what? I have the opportunity to have 4 or 5 plans in one shot to the employer. And I don't have to go learn all the rules from those different plans. And so this is a nice thing to have. And then from the employer's perspective, they have the ability to say, yeah, healthcare costs are going up dramatically, but I'm giving my employees choice. It's tough. It's tough that your rates are going up, but you have a chance to do something about it because you could take yourself to a lower copay level. You can go ahead and switch plans. You have a lot of different options that are available to you, whereas people who are in the traditional small employer market of health insurance, they're told, here's your rates, here's your package. It's time to move on.
Thank you.